Macomb, Alabama. Macomb was known for its scarcity of taxis, with just one serving the entire town. It was small yet maintained, with overgrown sidewalks and dusty roads that turned muddy when it occasionally rained. The climate was consistently hot, making starched collars droop and causing sweat to bead on powdered foreheads. Time seemed to pass slowly in Macomb compared to other places. Despite its modest size, Macomb played a significant role as a government center for the county. Its streets were wide, lined with oak trees, and its buildings boasted impressive architecture. The courthouse, in particular, stood out with its massive stone pillars that resembled those of ancient Greek temples rather than a typical county court. Macomb had many professionals for its size, where people got dental work, medical checkups, and legal papers signed. Although Macomb County was mostly fields and forests, the town itself stood out as a hub of sophistication. One prominent figure among these professionals was Atticus Finch, a tall, glasses-wearing man around 45 years old. Known for his kind face and full head of graying black hair, he epitomized Macomb's life. Atticus hailed from a founding family, with ties to nearly every other family in town by blood or marriage. Despite being highly esteemed as a lawyer, Atticus disliked criminal law, finding it unpleasant and morally challenging. His discomfort began with his first case, where he defended two brothers accused of killing the town's blacksmith over a horse. Despite advising them to plead guilty to lessen their punishment, they insisted on pleading innocent, claiming the blacksmith deserved his fate. Atticus could only watch as they were executed, a duty he fulfilled with a heavy heart. Scout and Jim Finch. Atticus had two kids, Jim, age 10, and Scout, who was 6. They liked their dad. He played with them, read stories, and talked openly with them, just like he did with everyone else. He trusted them to be independent but relied on Calpurnia to keep an eye on them. She was more than just their cook, she helped raise them after their mom died 5 years ago. Scout thought Calpurnia was Atticus's only true friend, which was unusual because white men didn't usually befriend black women. When Jim and Scout played outside, they had to stay close enough for Calpurnia to hear them. They didn't mind staying nearby, especially since Mrs. DuBose lived just 2 houses down. She was an old lady who sat on her porch all day, and she was known for being mean. She insulted any kid who passed by, so most kids took a longer route to school just to avoid her. Jim and Scout stayed clear of her. The mysterious Radley House. 3 doors south of the Finch residence stood the Radley House, which both fascinated and repelled the locals. The Radleys were known for their strict religious beliefs, often referred to as foot washers due to their emphasis on ritual cleanliness. They divided the world into sinners and repenters, following a narrow path of righteousness. Years earlier, their son Arthur, nicknamed Boo, had a minor run-in with the law for a small offense, but to the Radleys, it was a grave sin. As a result, Boo was confined to their home, almost like a prisoner. Despite his protests, including an incident where he injured his father, Boo remained hidden from society under the watchful eye of his older brother after their father's death. As time passed, rumors about Boo grew more sinister in Macomb. Isolated from the world, he was rumored to have become a monstrous figure, avoiding sunlight and prowling at night, peeking into windows, and even allegedly eating cats. These stories became part of local lore, passed down to children like Jim and Scout Finch. Summer adventures in Macomb. During the summer of 1933, Jim, Scout, and their friend Dill from Mississippi decided to play a daring game, coaxing Boo Radley out of his mysterious home. Their first attempt involved Jim boldly banging on the house, but it yielded no response. Scout claimed to hear laughter inside, though the boys missed it entirely. Undeterred, they then tried slipping a note through Boo's window, inviting him out for ice cream. However, their plan was foiled when Atticus caught them red-handed with a fishing rod in hand. On Dill's final evening in Macomb, as summer neared its end, the trio ventured into the Radleys' backyard for a risky peek through a rear window. Their escapade took a dangerous turn when Boo's brother appeared suddenly, armed with a shotgun. He fired a warning shot into the air, threatening the necks would be aimed lower. In their rush to safety, Jim snagged his trousers on the Radley fence, a potentially disastrous mishap if discovered. Despite scouts' pleas to abandon their quest, Jim remained determined. Later that night, he made a surprising discovery near the fence, his pants, neatly mended. This unexpected find revealed a different side to Boo Radley, challenging their fears of the supposed ogre. The Tom Robinson case. Scout didn't enjoy school or her teacher, Miss Caroline. Miss Caroline was from a nearby county and had strict ideas about teaching. She believed children should only learn in school, not at home. What bothered Scout the most was Miss Caroline's arrogance. She didn't understand Macomb's customs and didn't try to learn them either. When a boy from a farming family came to school without lunch, Miss Caroline insisted he borrow money. But everyone knew the Cunninghams never borrowed money. They were proud and couldn't afford to pay it back. To spare the boy from embarrassment, Scout spoke up, which Miss Caroline saw as disrespectful, and punished her for it. Scout complained to her father, Atticus. He advised her that she would get along better in life if she could see things from other people's perspectives. He encouraged her to try to understand others before judging them. Atticus defends Tom Robinson. A year ago, she might have taken that advice. But the worst part of school was how it tested her belief in Atticus. Scout's classmates teased and prodded her until she couldn't take it anymore and settled things with her fists. She didn't fully understand their words, and they probably didn't either. But the hurtful things they said, echoing conversations they heard at dinner, still stung. They believed Atticus was disgracing his family by defending a black man accused of assaulting a white woman. Atticus was going against Macomb and his people. Confused, Scout asked Atticus one evening what it all meant. He sighed, his favorite part of the day usually being after dinner when he could read in peace. But he put down his newspaper and tried to answer her questions. Rape, he explained, was forcing a woman into sexual acts without her consent. Though Scout didn't quite grasp it, she moved on to her next question. Atticus told her he was defending a black man named Tom Robinson accused of rape. People had strong opinions, but he believed everyone should be treated equally by the law and deserve a fair trial. Would he win the case? Scout wondered. Atticus sighed again. No, he replied sadly. They were destined to lose long before this trial began. But that wasn't a reason to give up. They had to try to win anyway. Atticus's message about conscience. Scout observed the significance of Atticus's discussion about town gossip and their harsh opinions of him. Atticus believed that a person must reconcile with their conscience before they can coexist with others. One evening, speaking to his brother after the children had gone to bed, Atticus expressed his conviction that he could not abandon Tom Robinson to his fate without compromising his integrity. Scout, who had been listening in on their conversation, later realized that Atticus had likely sensed her presence and carefully chose his words with her in mind. At the time, she found her father's behavior unusual compared to other men in Macomb who enjoyed activities like hunting and poker. When Atticus eventually gives in to Scout and Jim's pestering for air rifles, he insists they only shoot tin cans, emphasizing that it was a sin to harm a mockingbird, a concept he rarely discussed. Scout had to ask Miss Maudie what he meant. Miss Maudie lived across the street and had known Atticus since they were kids, just like Scout. She believed it was because mockingbirds are gentle and innocent creatures. They don't ruin gardens or nest in corn cribs, all they do is sing beautifully. That's why it's a sin to harm them. The crowd. Summer had arrived once more in Macomb, bringing with it a distraction from Boo's mystery. The town was abuzz with anticipation for an upcoming trial. Everyone seemed sure of the outcome except Atticus Finch, who stirred controversy by defending the accused. Many questioned his decision to fight for a man they believed guilty, risking his reputation and friendships. The evening before the trial, Tom Robinson was transferred to Macomb County Jail. Sensing trouble, Atticus stayed in town overnight. Jim, Scout, and Dill, curious and concerned, secretly followed him. From their hiding spot behind a massive oak tree, they watched Atticus, calm as ever, sitting outside the jail with a book in hand and his glasses perched on his nose. Suddenly, the silence was shattered by the roar of approaching cars. Atticus calmly closed his book as a convoy of rough-looking men in worn overalls arrived, led by a burly figure. They demanded Robinson's release. Atticus, steadfast, refused to let them take his client. The leader, devoid of anger but firm, warned that they would leave with Robinson, whether Atticus agreed or not. Encounter with the mob. Scout couldn't handle the rising tension. She ran towards the men, with Jim and Dill following closely. Atticus had been calm all along, but now a look of genuine fear crossed his face. He urgently told the kids to go home, but Scout refused to move. Not sure what to do, she started talking. Atticus always said it was wise to engage people in topics that interested them. Seeing that Walter Cunningham, the father of a classmate who never had lunch, was leading the group, Scout decided to talk to him. She asked about his son, but Walter initially ignored her. Undeterred, Scout invited him to dinner at their house anytime he wanted. Finally, Walter softened, knelt, promised to pass her message along, and then left with the others into the night, leaving as quickly as they had come. The experiment. The whole county came to watch the trial of Tom Robinson. Atticus told Jim and Scout to stay home, but they were determined not to miss it. They sneaked into the courthouse with Dill and found seats on the balcony. The prosecutor argued that Tom Robinson, a black farm worker, lived near the town dump in an area called the Negro Settlement. On his way to work, he passed by the house of a white family, the Yules. One day, 19-year-old Mayella Yule was heard screaming. Her father, Bob, ran back to their house and saw Tom supposedly attacking Mayella. Bob chased Tom away and called Sheriff Tate. Tate examined Mayella, who was badly beaten on her face, and heard her version of events. According to Mayella, Tom didn't just walk by as usual, he saw she was alone, which was rare with so many Yule children, and assaulted her. When she resisted, he beat her up. Trial revelations. Atticus dismantled every part of the account that accused Robinson. During questioning, Sheriff Tate admitted he hadn't called a doctor for Mayella's injuries. Atticus pressed him for an explanation. Tate couldn't give a satisfactory answer. He also confirmed that Mayella's right side was badly bruised, suggesting a left-handed culprit. When Bob Yule testified, Atticus questioned his ability to read. Offended, Bob agreed to prove himself by signing his name, with his left hand. Mayella took the stand next. Atticus exposed inconsistencies in her story. Finally, Atticus had Tom stand. Despite being disabled with a severely shortened left arm, Tom denied any wrongdoing. He recounted how Mayella often gave him small tasks, never paying him, suggesting she was lonely. When she asked for a kiss, he refused. Fearing Bob Yule, he ran away. Tom and Atticus implied that Bob Yule likely abused Mayella. The decision. Atticus found no solid proof to support Tom Robinson's case. Mayella Yule lied to hide her shame after trying to seduce a black man. Bob Yule lied to protect his family's reputation. They both seemed sure their lies would work because of their race. But the law doesn't care about skin color. Atticus trusted the jury of reasonable men to do the right thing and free Tom Robinson. After a long wait, the jury declared Tom Robinson guilty. Atticus knew this was likely. He later told Jim and Scout that in Southern courts, a white man's word usually wins. Prejudice against darker skin can make even fair-minded people act unfairly. Still, there was a small victory. The jury took hours to decide, not minutes as Atticus expected. This delay showed progress. Tom Robinson could appeal, giving him hope for justice. Scout and Jim didn't share their father's hopefulness. They grew up believing Macomb was filled with the best people, but now they saw a darker side emerging. Miss Maudie tried to comfort them. She said Macomb people were usually good, but sometimes struggled to do the right thing. That's why they chose Atticus to represent Tom Robinson, not some new lawyer. Deep down, Macomb knew right from wrong but often found it hard to act on it. Jim and Scout still weren't convinced. Jim even compared Macomb to Boo Radley, saying it seemed nicer inside than facing the harsh realities outside. Boo shows up. Tom Robinson never appealed his case. He didn't trust a white jury, so he tried to escape from prison. Almost successful, he was shot down by guards, who said his injured arm stopped him. Macomb tried to move on after Tom's death. Most people wanted to forget the trial. Miss Maudie admitted it wasn't Macomb's proudest moment. But one person couldn't forget, Bob Yule. He spat at Atticus and threatened revenge when they met at the post office. Atticus didn't take Yule's threat seriously. He had discredited him during the trial. Atticus knew men like Yule often reacted angrily to save face. If Yule hadn't confronted Atticus, he might have harmed Mayella instead. Atticus misjudged Yule. Yule was set on revenge and got his chance that fall. The truth revealed. On Halloween night, Jim and Scout were walking home from a school event when a sudden attack left Scout unconscious. When she woke up at home, Atticus, the sheriff, and a stranger, Boo Radley, were there. The doctor treated Jim for a broken arm caused by the incident. Atticus and the sheriff discussed finding Bob Yule dead with a knife. Atticus suspected Jim, but the sheriff believed Yule's death was accidental. The sheriff revealed Boo Radley had saved Jim and Scout with a knife. Atticus wanted to reveal the truth, but the sheriff protected Boo from public attention. Atticus agreed, realizing it was best not to expose Boo. Afterward, Atticus quietly reflected on the porch. Scout understood and comforted him, comparing their situation to not harming innocent beings, like mockingbirds. Before going inside, Atticus thanked Boo for saving his children. Key points 1. Uphold fairness and integrity, even when facing criticism or challenges. 2. Address problems directly, even when the outcome seems uncertain or daunting. 3. Trust others to grow but offer support when needed. 4. Stay calm in tense situations to diffuse conflict effectively. 5. Look beyond appearances to appreciate acts of quiet generosity. 6. Use failures and hardships as opportunities for growth and resilience.